From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series devoted to the life and ministry of one of the greatest figures in the history of the Christian Church, the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus was a brilliant young Pharisee whose natural gifts and intellectual achievements placed him among the greatest minds of the ancient world. Yet this gifted man hated the religion of Jesus Christ and was doing everything in his power to eliminate anyone who professed faith in the Savior. On the road to Damascus, intending to continue his slaughter of Christians, Saul came face to face with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Saul's encounter with Christ that day was a turning point in the history of the world, for Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, whose ministry was to bring thousands to the Savior. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, The Chief of Sinners Saved. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Continue Upright. The text is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, The prayer of the upright is his delight. This is as good as a promise, for it declares a present fact, which will be the same throughout all ages. God takes great pleasure in the prayers of upright men. He even calls them his delight. Our first concern is to be upright, neither bending this way nor that, continue upright, not crooked with policy, nor prostrate by yielding to evil. Be you upright in strict integrity and straightforwardness. If we begin to shuffle and shift, we shall be left to shift for ourselves. If we try crooked ways, we shall find that we cannot pray, and if we pretend to do so, we shall find our prayers shut out of heaven. Are we acting in a straight line, and thus following out the Lord's revealed will? Then let us pray much, and pray in faith. If our prayer is God's delight, let us not stint Him in that which gives Him pleasure. He does not consider the grammar of it, nor the metaphysics of it, nor the rhetoric of it. In all these men might despise it. He, as a father, takes pleasure in the lispings of His own babes, the stammerings of His newborn sons and daughters. Should we not delight in prayer, since the Lord delights in it? Let us make errands to the throne. The Lord finds us enough reasons for prayer, and we ought to thank Him that it is so.
Oh,
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
Acts chapter 9. We're going to read together the first 9 verses of this chapter. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. We'll finish at verse 9. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus was one of the turning points of history. Now, we normally associate some great historic turning point with great battles or great statesmen or great national or international assemblies or such like things. From many aspects, however, the conversion of Saul is of more real significance, not only for the welfare of his own soul, but for the welfare of millions of others and for the history of the world, more significant than many of the events which the world's historians give so much attention to. That the conversion of Saul of Tarsus took place at all is amazing. No one expected it, least of all Saul of Tarsus. But it did take place. And that's indisputable. The fact that it took place stands as one of the most powerful historical confirmations of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and very especially of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't want to pursue that thought in any detail tonight. But it is impossible to do justice, A, to the laws of evidence, B, to proper historical criticism, C, to the laws of human psychology. It is impossible to do justice to any of those without realizing that the conversion of Saul of Tarsus was intended by God to be such a confirmation that Jesus of Nazareth really, literally rose from the dead, that none could ever gainsay it. So this then was a turning point in history. It was a man in an inexplicable state of inner turmoil who set out for Damascus from Jerusalem to heal Christians to torture, and to judgment. He was a man aflame with religious zeal, burning with a passion to serve the God of his father and to maintain the traditions of his father. He had already cast his vote for the death, the murder of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. He had stood by that gory scene as something of a director of operations. Yet even the death of Stephen couldn't satisfy him. We read that he was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. The word yet has the idea of further, or still, or even more. Having murdered Stephen, he wanted more. Having stoned that holy man to death, he wanted to go even further. His lust for Christian blood was insatiable. Sincerely, yet ignorantly and in unbelief, he hounded the followers of that way. And so, with an official commission from the chief priests in Jerusalem, he set out for Damascus. The journey from Jerusalem to Damascus was a long journey in those days, taking some 7 or 8 days. It was a journey, therefore, that gave Saul of Tarsus plenty of time to think. And believe me, the evidence, we have seen this, I think, a little in the last couple of Sabbath evenings, the evidence is that he had plenty to reflect upon. As I said, he was a man in inner turmoil. New and unexpected feelings had recently been disturbing his mind. He had been having some strange thoughts about the law of God, strange thoughts about sin, particularly his own sin, and strange thoughts about this Jesus of Nazareth, whom the disciples presented as the Christ of God. Of course, he had dismissed all such thoughts, or at least he had tried to. The more these strange ideas troubled him, the more they appeared to censure his vicious persecution of the disciples of Jesus Christ, the more they goaded him into ever more frantic and extreme action against those same followers of Christ. Those days of journeying to Damascus were, I believe, days when Paul continued to experience what we saw in the Word last week, what I described as his feeling of one being slain by the law of God. And yet, at the same time as feeling himself slain by the conviction of the law, as we saw in Romans 7, he said, I was alive without the law once, but then the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. I believe that started around the time when he first came in touch with Stephen. And it certainly continued through the time that he was on the road to Damascus. He felt himself slain by the law of God, and yet at the same time driven by the blazing passions of his own religious zeal to continue the very course which the law was condemning. And so, with this constant controversy within him, with this constant turmoil, when he was like the troubled sea that could not rest, so he came near Damascus. And it was there, at last, near to the city of Damascus, that the event that changed his life, the life and success of the Church of Christ, and it's not too much to say that changed the history of the world, took place. We read of it this evening in Acts chapter 9. The description here is highly edited. It is very succinct, but the picture is unmistakable. There he was, I can picture him with his entourage, riding along, no one seeing beyond the stony countenance to understand the deep workings of his heart, no one being able to penetrate to the inner thoughts of that mighty mind to know the things that were troubling him, riding along erect like a great proud Pharisee, when suddenly, above the glaring light of the eastern noonday sun, there comes a beam from heaven. And in an instant of time, the proud horseman bites the dust, and he lies there before the God of glory. A voice sounds from heaven, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And trembling in the dust, he lifts his voice to glory, and he cries, Who art thou, Lord? Then there is that shattering reply, the reply that forever led his Pharisaical pretensions in the dust, the reply that went straight to his heart and confirmed every convicting thought that he'd been having over recent times. I am Jesus. Think of what that must have done to Saul. Your cronies crucified me. They paid the soldiers to lie about the scene at the resurrection. They have spread abroad their lies. They have unsheathed the sword to try to cover up the truth of the death and resurrection. But, after all, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What will be his response? Glory to God. The response was, Lord. Never forget that. That was the first word. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.